You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's starting to look more and more like Brian Daboll has got to fix his attitude. That's what it feels like with the Giants. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. It is amazing how quickly things can really turn south, especially in that job over the last few times. We saw Joe Judge year one. Everybody loves him. They take a big step forward. Year two, they fall apart, have a bad year, and then they're ready to get rid of him. And we've seen with Brian Daboll, first year, goes to the playoffs, everybody loves him. This past year, not so much. Yelling, screaming on the sideline, attitude, no good. So it changes seemingly all the time. And it's a lot easier to put up with stuff, Joe, when you're winning games than when you're not.
Undersell, overdeliver. Undersell, overdeliver. They did it opposite. That's the problem for Daboll right now. He over-delivered in year one. Expectations were raised an unreasonably high level. And as a result, people thought, all right, we got a playoff team now. Let's build upon it next year. Well, there were several red flags that were present and right there for everyone to see as to why that wouldn't happen for the Giants. But unfortunately, not everyone understood that. Not everyone saw them. The Giants came back down to earth, and now everyone's questioning whether or not this guy can get the job done. It's a fascinating case study in recency bias and in human dynamics, but this is going to be a huge season for Daboll, whether he deserves it or not, because if you flip season one and season two, he looks like a genius. Season one was, okay, we're figuring things out, but then they probably don't sign Daniel Jones, and then season two, they go to the playoffs, they beat Minnesota, they do all that. Everyone's looking at it like, this guy's got the Giants back to prominence. You're thinking Super Bowl in year three, baby.
Now? Not.
No. You are most certainly not.
Here is Daboll responding to John Mara's comments yesterday that maybe he needs to change his demeanor just a little bit.
Yeah, look, I talk to John every day. I talk to my staff every day. Look, every year there's a self-evaluation process that goes on, whether I was a position coach, a coordinator, in this case a head coach. You know, I'm a very passionate person, but yeah, there's times where I wish I handled things a little bit differently, certainly. So you continue to grow, you continue to evolve, and that's what I try to do every year.
You know, Joe, I've been thinking a lot about things that you have talked about on and off the air.
In bit odd, being, but okay.
Well, in being in circumstances that are high pressure and being able to remain stoic and being able to just breathe and handle it as if it is any other moment.
Calm. Calm is the word.
Brian Daboll doesn't have that. And when you look at the coaches over the years, especially somewhat recently, successful coaches have been calm for the most part. You know, there were times back in the day, the Parcells, guys like that, where they would go off, but you know, those guys were doing an awful lot of winning. But then I think about, like, and I know he's got Patrick Mahomes, but I think about Andy Reid, who has been this way his entire career and has done a ton of winning.
John Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan.
Exactly.
John Harbaugh's never getting irate.
You can go chapter and verse down the league right now. Belichick, I mean, it took a lot for him to really get animated, you know? You go chapter and verse in the league right now, there are not a lot of guys that lose their minds on the sideline. And it's not because you have to be so much softer with players now. It's because they have learned that it serves them that much better to remain calm. And if you're doing a self-evaluation, if you're Brian Daboll, it's time. It's time that you figured out that you have to change that aspect of what you're doing.
Well, teams take on the personality of their head coach, much like children take on the personality of their parents, right? The best thing you can do as a parent, if you want your kids to have good behavior, is to model good behavior. You can say all the words you want, but children are very visual. They're going to pick up on your cues. That's where they're going to learn your habits. You should apply that same philosophy to your team. Mm-hmm. If you're calm in the face of pressure, they will be calm in the face of pressure. If you're losing your mind 3 minutes into the first quarter because of a false start penalty that you feel shouldn't have been flagged and you're yelling at the officials, you're going to create a certain amount of tension amongst your team as well. People are going to get tight. But make no mistake about it, John Mara, the Giants owner, has done his team no favors with this commentary. This is as poor leadership as you can have. An owner coming out and criticizing his coach publicly. Why would you do that? What is there to gain from that commentary? The old saying holds true now more than it ever has before. You compliment in public, you criticize in private. Mara's out there in front of a microphone talking about how his head coach needs to tone it down a bit. All that's going to do is lead to questions for the head coach. Then it's going to lead to speculation as to whether or not the owner has a problem with the head coach. And in the New York market, this is going to continue to build and build and build, and it's going to create more tension. No one's going to be comfortable, and ultimately it will end badly. The owner should not be saying anything publicly like this at all, or he should have just gone ahead and fired the guy and moved on, because you didn't do him any favors by putting a bullseye on his back with these comments, by talking about how, well, yeah, I wish he acted differently. Oh, okay, ownership doesn't really like Dable. Dable's got to clean up the attitude. Now, anytime Dable shows any emotion whatsoever, everyone's going to question whether or not Mara's going to fire him. Bad leadership all the way around right there.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And, you know, one other thing, too. Fans love the guys who are just so super animated on the sideline and thinks that that must automatically make them a great coach. Remember how animated Robert Saleh was on the sideline as the 49ers defensive coordinator?
Big time.
Yeah. Now, he's toned it down a bit as a head coach, but that was a big thing. And when you look at how he has handled things behind the scenes recently, there doesn't feel like that same stoicism under pressure. Case in point, the Athletic article that came out from our old friend Diana Rossini a couple of months ago about how it just all unraveled for the Jets later in the year. And he got too worried about leaks in the building and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden he's demanding to see people's cell phones. Like, it's kind of falling apart on you when you start to get wrapped up in that stuff. And I've been there in some pressurized situations personally where I did not handle things well. And I'd like to think I'd do it better now. But when I look at these two head coaches in New York, I'm wondering which one of these guys is more likely to be back a year from now.
To put a bow on the emotion, it's okay to show emotion.
Sure.
You just got to show the right emotion and you got to show it the right way.
You have to show the emotion so that it does not let you lose perspective in the moment.
Sean McVay is the example I'm going for.
Boom.
Sean McVay understands it. When you see him emotional, it's because he's excited for his players. He's running down to the end zone to celebrate with them. You can say that's corny, cheesy, whatever, but that's the proper emotion. He's celebrating with his guys. He's celebrating their success. That's what you want to do. When things are going against you, calm, even, steady. Two coaches in New York, excellent question. Both facing incredible pressure. The bar is probably a lot higher for the Jets this year, given the fact that because last year was so hyped up and we lost Rodgers after four plays, I mean, now it's boom or bust, right? There is no 9-8 season to get your feet wet. Whether you like it or not, this is year two of Aaron Rodgers, and year one was a failure. Point to the injury all you want. It's still year two of Aaron Rodgers, and year one was the failure. So if you're the Giants, you need to show that you can compete in a competent fashion. Don't get blown out. Look good on the field. Don't make stupid mistakes late in the fourth quarter with bad decisions as a head coach in game management spots, and you should be fine. For the Jets, they've got to get into the playoffs, and they probably have to make a run if you're going to bring Robert Saleh back. Because Saleh, so far in his career in New York, it is a 4-13 season, a 7-10 season, and a 7-10 season. No one cares who was quarterbacking anymore. No one wants to hear any more of the excuses. Nobody cares as to what went against him. It's time to deliver. Whether it's fair or not, you have to deliver big results this season.
For Daboll to be the guy who's back next season, it's got to be the Giants drafting a quarterback this year. Because if they do, there's a much better chance that he would return next year. First of all, with his ability to develop quarterbacks, as we have seen before. And secondly, that this is his guy, and the Giants just went through that whole thing of, we did everything we could to ruin Daniel Jones. If they're going to draft another quarterback, they are not going to repeat those same mistakes. And if they do, I mean, you kind of put yourself in that spot. I don't buy that for a second. I don't think they will.
There's a scenario with the Giants where if they don't draft a quarterback, but they go out this year and they go 9-8 with Daniel Jones and they look competent, he's back, Jones is gone, and they reboot at the position. I could see something like that as well. Because again, no one has any expectations for Daniel Jones. So if he's your starter and he plays well enough, Daboll will get the credit much like he did 2 years ago.
One last thing here. You know, it's not a great situation.
Shohei Ohtani, Jonte Parker.
That's not ideal.
Porter.
Either of those, not great.
We've talked about a lot of unfavorable situations today.
Also not a great situation. Jets making a head coaching change and a general manager change. And Aaron Rodgers is still in the building for a couple of more years because he wants to play 2 or 3 more years.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to work. You clear it all out or you keep it all together. You're not blowing out part of it.
Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. My friends, your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. History made in the NBA. Somebody? Not impressed. That's next. Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Night on the hardwood.
Up the floor, James hammers a right-hand dunk.
Let's get caught up with Carlin versus Joe's NBA to Z.
We're going to start in just a bizarre, bizarre game last night with the Atlanta Hawks. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
A three is good, and the Hawks take a 4-point lead. And it's almost good night time to those Boston Celtics.
Wow, that was... He was very excited.
Very excited.
Like, couldn't believe he was in that moment. And I understand why, because the Hawks were down 30 to the Celtics. Oh, my goodness. And they come back and win. 9.2 seconds left. That was DeAndre Hunter's three that really clinched the game for them. And that was 92-9 the game down in Atlanta. That was a rough, rough night for Joe Mazzulla and company.
I would say, like, we talk about starting quarters and ending quarters. They cut it to 18 there. And it's funny, we only had 9 turnovers for 20 points. So I think it was just the margins. Like, they had 15 offensive rebounds. We had 9 what seemed to be live ball turnovers for points. You know, and then they shot the ball really well from 3. So we got off to a really good start. But it's a good lesson when you let a team hang around. And, you know, they made, you know, those margin plays, you know, points up, turnovers, 3-pointers, offensive rebounds. And credit to them for, you know, battling back.
The Celtics have been absolutely fantastic this season, Joe. You know what Joe Mazzulla doesn't do? Inspire confidence.
No.
I still think that in a big situation come playoff time, I don't trust Joe Mazzulla.
This game last night, this performance is a huge problem for the Boston Celtics. And people will hear that and they'll think to themselves, here we go. One game out of 82, we're making a big deal about it. No, we're not. This is the second time in just a few weeks that the Celtics have blown a huge lead because they've gotten too complacent late in basketball games. They have won 9 straight games. They have won 20 of their last 22, I believe, entering last night.
Yep.
They blew a 30-point lead last night. One of the 2 games they lost in the last 22 was a game to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 105-104. You might say to yourself, all right, tightly contested game. Cleveland's pretty good. Boston led that game by 22 with 9 minutes to go. They were up 22 points with 9 minutes to go against the Cavs just a few weeks ago. Blew the lead in spectacular, historic fashion, and then turned around a few weeks later after all this winning and blew a 30-point lead to the Hawks. If it happens once, it's a learning experience. If it happens 2 or more times, it's a problem. The Celtics have a problem with this. They get too fat and happy, they get too complacent, and they forget to close the show and bring down the curtain. Very interested to see if this gets addressed by the time they get to the postseason, because this team needs a little bit more killer instinct. You're clearing through the regular season. You look fantastic. Nobody cares. It's championship or bust in Boston this season.
Fat and sassy and spoiled.
Yep.
That's right. And that's a problem. Meanwhile, Adibe Chen.
He's in the corner. Flynn guards him. They're looking for him. Here he is. Right side. 3-pointer. There's the record.
Dante DiVincenzo of the Knicks. A franchise record, 11 threes last night. Knicks rolling over the Pistons. That's 98.7 ESPN in New York. So surely Monty Williams, the Pistons coach, had to be impressed.
I don't care about their team at all. I could care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part of that story.
Well, you're a part of it because you gave them up. How about this, Monty? Play better. Just a thought.
12-60 the Pistons are this year. 12-60 They are in last place in the Eastern Conference. They are in last place in the NBA. To put 12-60 in perspective, they're 2 games behind the Wizards, who are 14-58. Stanford Steve, and this isn't to throw him under the bus because I love the guy. He was on ESPN Bet Live a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about betting the Wizards to have the worst record in the NBA. And he laid out a great case. He said, when you watch Wizards basketball, they have actively quit. They have quit on the season. The Pistons are actually trying to win games. He laid that out beautifully. The case was solid. And we look at this a few weeks later, the Wizards are still 2 up on Detroit because Detroit is that incompetent. Monty Williams gets paid an extraordinary amount of money to develop these guys.
Highest paid coach in the league.
No one is asking them to go to the playoffs. No one's asking them to compete for a championship. Don't be a joke. That's your job this season. Don't be a joke. Turns out you are a joke. And in situations like this after the game where you don't want to be a part of the story, but you make comments that make you the headline, what do you want us to say? What do you want us to do? It's embarrassing what's happening in Detroit. You don't seem to have any answers for that.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to nitpick him here a little bit too. Listen to this again.
I don't care about their team at all. I could care less.
Actually, it's I couldn't care less. Because if you could care less, you could actually care less, Monty. I hate it when people say that.
Yes. Is that that's a big pet peeve for you, that one?
Huge pet peeve.
Understood.
Evan pointed it out, and it just reminded me how much that drives me nuts. You know how I never butcher the English language.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that Josh Hart had the great response.
If he doesn't want to be part of his talk, he should have told the guy to defend better. What else to say, bro? We got a guy that's hot. We're going to try to find a guy that's hot. I mean, that's common sense of basketball.
Oh, boy.
There it is. The old don't run up the score. Well, go do something about it. Now, in kids' athletics, it's one thing. There's such a thing as sportsmanship at the lower ages. In the pros, no one's crying for you guys. You're paid. It's a job. We're not going to feel bad if you get run off the court.
It happens. Let it not happen.
Shoulders for space. Wraparound pass. There's the assist. There's the triple-double. Keegan Murray on the receiving end of that one.
What is this? Is this coming to us from 1880? What was that?
I think somebody fed that highlight through a phone with a pair of alligator clips.
Jeez. Going back in time for this highlight.
Hold the radio up to the telephone.
And Jerry West knocks down yet another two-pointer. The Los Angeles Lakers take a four-point lead going to the fourth. It is 46-42. I mean, can we play that again? Think about it. Now that we've made our jokes, listen to this one more time. Like, this is going back in time.
Shoulders for space, wraparound pass. There's the assist. There's the triple-double. Keegan Murray on the receiving end of that one.
All that missing is Johnny Most.
Yeah. The only thing that gives it away that it's modern is that it's a triple-double. Because back in the day, that was something that was impressive. Now it happens 30 times a night.
Yeah. Well, Domantas Sabonis had that triple-double. The Kings beat the Sixers 108-96. That was on KHTK out in Sacramento, where apparently they don't have internet, which I was unaware of. So think about this for a second. Sabonis, 11-13-10. He recorded his NBA-leading 25th triple-double, joins Oscar Robertson, Russell Westbrook, Wilt, and Jokic as the only players in NBA history with 25 triple-doubles in his single season and his 54th straight double-double.
Wow. He's remarkable. That team, De'Aaron Fox, there is some significant talent on that team.
Yeah, there is.
The Kings just need to put it together and make a little bit of a run here in the playoffs. You don't need to win anything, but you got to the playoffs last year. You lost in seven to the Warriors. Go out there and win a playoff series this year. I'm not saying you have to. I'm not putting pressure on you, but you got so much talent and you can be so much fun to watch. Go out there and win a playoff series and see what happens. The uniforms are cool. The colors of the uniforms are cool. They score a ton of points. It's exciting basketball. Young people can get behind that basketball team if they can just see them play. See them play a little bit. In the playoffs, watch out for them, man. I hope they have some success. They are a fun basketball team.
And finally,
the Los Angeles Lakers.
Ugh. LeBron James out tonight. Will not play against the Bucks. Left ankle soreness. Out. That is unfortunate because tonight was looking like a pretty good slate, especially with Lakers-Bucks.
OKC and the Pelicans tonight, that's a big one. Dallas-Sacramento's a big one. Golden State-Miami has big implications. And then the aforementioned Bucks hosting the Lakers. Looked like it could have been a big one. Not so much anymore.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing, it can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Meanwhile, huge night for one superstar that we did not mention in NBA to Z. It's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Final minute of this third quarter. Clark off the cross, into the lane, the hang and the hit. Well, this is a great take. Kaitlyn Clark looks like she's going to pull back for the three, and Hemingway gets into her space, stays on balance, does a great job.
Watched a lot of that game last night on ESPN. In the end, although tied with 5 minutes left, Iowa outlasts West Virginia. Kaitlyn Clark ends up with 32-8. Her final game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And I'll tell you what, she has faced a lot of physical play in the first couple of games of the tournament so far. Joe, let's hear from her real quick. Kaitlyn on one of the hardest tournament games that she has ever played.
To be honest, like looking back on our journey last year, to me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. And so I think our group was never flustered by any means when they went and tied it up. Yes, we had so many opportunities tonight where we got to a 10-point lead, a 7-point lead, and we couldn't figure out a way to extend it. And honestly, we just didn't shoot the ball very well. We just didn't make shots. West Virginia is, you know, a really good basketball team, and we found a way to win. We changed up our defenses. We got big rebounds when it mattered. We made big free throws. There's a lot of positive to take away from this when maybe we didn't even play our best basketball or didn't look as pretty. I think that's more fulfilling of a win for us than, you know, going out there and winning by 30 points.
Joe, in college basketball, when you score 1,000 points in your career, you've had a pretty good career. She scored 1,100 this year. Think about that.
I'll tell you this. This is a bit of a departure, but love the fact that the women's side of the equation has a home court advantage. Absolutely love it. That building was packed last night.
Oh, yeah.
That building was packed. I know we do these regionals for the opening couple rounds, and we move everybody around, but you know how many of those buildings, they're not even close to capacity. They might be a third of the way filled because it's too early in the morning on the West Coast, and it's two teams that don't appeal to the local audience. Doesn't mean it's not popular and not loved nationally, but I love the fact that that game last night at Iowa was completely sold out. Kaitlyn Clark effect absolutely plays into that, but the idea of playing these games at home and adding more juice and more fandom to it, I can get behind that in any way, shape, or form. And I love the fact that the college football playoff is trending in that direction.
So I was out in Iowa this weekend visiting some family, and I was out to eat with my brother, Jim, at lunch. And we're in a sports bar, and it is just as the Iowa game is starting, and dear God, I mean, they are locked and loaded on that.
Yeah.
You can only imagine what that's like. I know I'm not breaking any ground when I say that. The one thing I wonder about, though, with Iowa and with Kaitlyn Clark is when you have a player that is routinely going to score more than half your points, can you win a championship that way? Because we have discussed how important it is for Kaitlyn to cap off her career with a championship. Not that it's going to take away from her greatness as a player, but it certainly would go a long way towards cementing what she has done.
It would. It's just so difficult to be that good. But if the supporting cast isn't stacked, how are you going to get past a team like South Carolina? Like, for those who are unaware, that South Carolina team is an absolute wagon. An absolute wagon. Yeah. They annihilate everyone. They are undefeated this season. They are a stud operation, and that's one of several really good teams that you're going to have to work your way through to win a championship. You know, it's like, do we knock Barry Bonds for having not won a World Series? I know everyone will point to all the PED allegations and all that, but just think for a moment. Even prior to all that, when he was with Pittsburgh and early in his career, he rolled up Hall of Fame numbers, but he never won a World Series. How much impact can he actually have on a game when he's only batting once every third inning? And on defense, if no one's hitting in his way, what's he supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Caitlin Clark, she can only do so much. And when you get to the higher levels, I know the LSU rematch is on the horizon here. If you're LSU, are not you not just bum rushing two, three people at her? You've got so many athletes on that team. You're going after her. You're going to try to limit her. And you're going to say, who else from this Iowa team can beat us? And if you can get hot, so be it. That's your night. If not, Iowa's going home. I don't think it has anything to do with her legacy. I'm not holding anything against her if she doesn't win a national championship, because the landscape of women's college basketball is just an absolute gauntlet.
Yeah. You know what I loved last night, too? Gina Auriemma tapping everybody on the shoulder. Remember me? Paige Beckers, who is a tremendous player and has dealt with a ton of injuries in her career, had 30 last night, 32, 10, and 6. UConn beat Syracuse. And Gino dropped this gem after the game.
You know, we have the best player in America. And, you know, just saying that because the numbers in this world of analytics, the numbers say that she is. And the whole stat sheet says that she is. And everybody that watched knows it. And we're fortunate.
Love it. I love it. Let's get petty. Let's get it all out there. Women's sports, you are not above this.
I love it.
You are not above this, women's college basketball. Get down in the mud, just like everybody else. Start slinging at one another.
You know what? I kind of feel like Gino's been waiting for this. You know, he used to have it a little bit with Pat Summitt. He used to have it a little bit with Vivian Stringer. But yeah, he would get after it a little. Tara Vanderveer, same thing at Stanford. Gino has been looking for this, and, you know, UConn, as we know, has not been what they were the last couple of seasons, and just sticking in the little...
This is what we want. You need this juice in sports. This is what it's all about. There's nothing wrong with what he said. It's all in good nature. We are competing at the highest level right now. He's got a hell of a player in Paige Beckers. She had a hell of a night. Go ahead and make that comment. Get people like us talking about it. Get us interested in the upcoming matchups. That's what we want. That's what sports are supposed to be about. Friendly gamesmanship like this. This is the thing. There is a point where it goes too far, and there are certain things that are out of bounds. But a comment like that, that's what we want to see and hear this time of year. I want to hear that he's got the best team in the dance right now. And I want to see how angry LSU and South Carolina and Iowa get at those comments. That's what we want to see. That's what adds to the juice, because they're not playing every night. So in the in-between, we need them to cut WWE Monday Night Raw promos to get us ready for the next pay-per-view.
Can you just imagine for a moment, okay, that we could have a regional final of Caitlin Clark and Iowa against LSU as the 3 seed, with the Kim Mulkey stuff hovering over all this. Who knows if the story will come out by then. I mean, that would be... Well, Holly Rowe used the word circus. I don't think it's a big enough word anymore as to what that would look like this weekend. And then, you know, maybe they get a shot at Gino at some point.
That was the national championship game last year.
Yeah.
LSU and Iowa. That was the whole Angel Reese with the you can't see me thing.
You get the rematch and all that stuff. You can't see me that
whole bit. Let's go. Like, all the way around. Let's go. And then there's just big, bad South Carolina lurking. What seed is UConn?
UConn is a 3 seed.
If I'm not mistaken, and I remember looking at this region, like, we talked all about how Arizona in the men's bracket was the favorite in their region despite being a 2 seed and UNC being the 1. Mm-hmm. I think UConn was the favorite to win their region as the 3 seed.
I don't remember if they were the favorite or not in potentially the 3 seed, but they would play the winner. Let's just say that UConn got to the Final Four. They would play the winner of Iowa and LSU if, in fact, that ends up being the regional final.
And then again, South Carolina is just residing on the other side of the bracket.
Yep, just sitting tight.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
They were undefeated last year, and anyone who knows anything about women's basketball, when you ask him about them this year, they all said the same thing. This team's actually better. So, okay.
And here's the other thing. Can't forget about USC either. I mean, I'll tell you, it is really, really building up to be an outstanding regional final / Final Four on the women's side. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What, people taking shots at everybody?
Yeah.
Just absolutely light it up.
Let's go. Give us content. We want content.
Meanwhile, the guy who gave us plenty of content and some chatter this morning all over ESPN joins us next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
Are you ready?
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit, Michigan.
The Detroit Lions select.
It all begins with round one, Thursday, April 25th.
The NFL Draft is now officially open.
The countdown rolls on. The 2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Very much looking forward to it. We'll be working the draft. It's Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and one of the guys that was an absolute blast to work with last year is the former NFL executive Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us in studio right now with his latest mock draft. Mike, let's just a couple of things. Number one, I think it's you, me, Joe. I think we're talking Detroit pizza, and I think it's we could just make the date right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Absolutely. You want to know what kind of pizza I'd order? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I mean,
it's pretty open-ended question. I also was a bit confused as to where he was going there. You're not alone.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Detroit pizza is a thing, which I was unaware of. I didn't know that Detroit pizza was a thing.
Are you kidding?
I did not know that until we talked about it last week.
At your size, you were unaware that that even existed.
I haven't spent a lot of time in Detroit.
Wow.
Times here
but,
and there.
But there are good pizza places that will make a Detroit-style pizza for you to try, even if you are outside of Detroit.
Have not had it. Did not know it existed.
Okay.
Completely ignorant. I know that's shocking.
Yeah, okay. So we'll get you there. We'll get you there when we're in Detroit.
All right. I just want to dine with Mike. That's what's important to me. I want to spend some more quality time with him.
We'll have plenty of time to be dining in Detroit.
Yes, yes, we will. Mike, first question off your latest mock draft. You've got J.J. McCarthy, number four to the Cardinals, trading Kyler Murray to the Vikings for the 11th pick. Right out of the gate, how dare you with that? I was surprised by that. What do you got?
Well, you know, J.J. McCarthy to me is a guy that lost one game in college. He is somebody that is ideal size. He's a great leader. I've been to many of their practices and games over the last couple of years. You go back to the Illinois game 2022. Go to look at the Alabama game in 23. He plays great in the most consequential moments. So he's 6 years younger than Kyle Murray. He's $27.5 million per year, less expensive, and he's more durable. Kyler Murray hasn't played a complete game in since 2020. So if you can guarantee me that you're going to get a $27 million more production from Kyler Murray, then you should keep Kyler Murray.
I like that. I like what you've suggested there. Arizona gets to reboot. Minnesota could be a potential trade target, as you've suggested, because they got to figure out the quarterback situation. Before we go further, I think there are people like you who are in tune with this sport, who know everyone, who watch everything. You get why J.J. McCarthy is as highly touted as he is. So many of us are trying to figure out how this rise has happened at the end of the season until now. We watched him. He's good. The team wins. But I guess we're kind of used to seeing guys like Caleb Williams roll up big stats, and that's how we're conditioned to think quarterbacks are going to be at the top of the draft. He's a little bit different. So what is it that we're missing here?
Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything, actually. I think it's just one of those things where we're trying to project. I've said this a number of times. If J.J. McCarthy was at LSU and Jaden Daniels was at Michigan, their stats would look very similar to one another. You know, not obviously identical, but J.J. McCarthy is a winner. Like I said, lost just one game in college, doesn't turn the ball over, can make plays with his feet. He has great size. He can make all the throws. So to me, it's just the lack of opportunity that hasn't translated into the bigger stats.
The opportunity. All right. That's very well said.
It's Mike Tannenbaum with us. He, of course, former NFL exec and our front office insider. McCarthy aside, Mike, generally speaking, when you're a GM and you have these guys who make this meteoric rise between the end of the season and up to the draft, how do you treat that when you all of a sudden hear a lot more about guys and, you know, their pro day and the combine and all that stuff? Can you look at that clearly, or is it more hype than anything else in lying season? So
yeah, no, I think it's like more of a continuum, you know, Chris. Like one of the guys I looked up to was Charlie Castle, a longtime GM, and you know, he said best to me 2 decades ago when he's like, when you put a grade on a player just based on how they played, more times than not, that's gonna be representative of how good they are. And J.J. McCarthy played really good football. He did what was asked, and I don't think he should be penalized because he didn't have the number of pass attempts that other quarterbacks did have.
There's some speculation that he could go as high as 2. This just started kind of floating around. Do you see him creeping up there? We haven't heard much about Daniels, and Washington has been very quiet. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, Joe, I don't think you could rule that out at all. Like, to me, there's really no holes in his game from a standpoint of he doesn't have the numbers per se, but if you look at 3rd and 7 or longer, best QBR in the draft. Like he checks so many different boxes. So when you look at Jaden Daniels, I love him, but you know, I work with Herm Edwards on ESPN Radio every Sundays in the fall.
There we go, good plug.
And he's 180 pounds when he got to Arizona State. He's thin frame, and we're talking about 17 games. We may be on to 18 games at some point. I love Drake May quite a bit. I think, you know, when you look at his game, he probably played a little bit better a year earlier, lost Josh Downs, didn't have the weapons, you know, the whole Tez Walker situation. So to me, like, there's questions about those other quarterbacks as well. So I think J.J. McCarthy will be in that discussion.
It's Mike Tannenbaum with us, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Mike, you've got 6 quarterbacks in your latest mock draft. Tell us about Bo Nix and the Broncos, Michael Penix in the first round to the Rams at 19.
Yeah, guys, Bo Nix to me is very similar to Drew Brees. So you connect the dots, you say Sean Payton, all that success with Drew Brees.
Wow.
Accurate, anticipate, quick processor of information. I don't think he has a great deep ball, but neither did Drew Brees. So if I'm Denver, who doesn't have a second-round pick, this is a great opportunity to go from Russell Wilson to Bo Nix. And then for the first time since 2016, the Rams have a first-round pick. They took Jared Goff there, and to me, Matt Stafford's a lot closer to the end of his career than the beginning. Why not get a really high-ceiling quarterback in Michael Penix?
Very interesting. The idea that Malik Nabers, wide receiver of LSU, going ahead of Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
Most of us who just watch this on the fringe, we've been conditioned to believe it's Harrison all the way, but Nabers is a hell of a prospect, apparently.
Yeah, I like them both. It's really not a negative on Marvin Harrison. It's more of like, you think of Malik Nabers as a home run hitter, a Tyreek Hill type, maybe a slightly less explosive, but that type of player. Marvin Harrison, to me, is Larry Fitzgerald. Like, he is a smooth athlete, contested catches. He'll be really, really good. So, to me, I just gave Nabers to the Giants because the Giants need to hit some home runs. They need to score big plays. So, like, to me, I felt like Marvin Harrison was not that he doesn't play fast, but Nabers has just another gear.
Mike, if Arizona decides to not go the quarterback route, I've contended, when you look at the fact that they have six picks in the first three rounds, if somebody is trying to get there, I don't care what the board says, you're going to pay the ultimate price. You're going to pay me a lot to get me to move out of that spot. How would you view that as a GM if you've decided I'm not going to go the quarterback route there?
Yeah, look, it's a fascinating discussion because Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, they're A players. You could trade back and actually get a good receiver and pick up some additional, you know, picks or maybe a pick for next year. So I think Arizona is dealing from a position of strength. They need a corner, and they definitely need a receiver. So if I'm them, I'm trying to trade back and even get more volume. Again, that volume could be a little bit for next year. Again, they made a great trade with Houston. They got Houston's one. Now, typically, DeMeco Ryans as a rookie head coach and C.J. Stroud as a rookie quarterback don't play as well as they did. They obviously, that first-round pick from Houston's a little bit lower, but they're still dealing from a position of strength.
What are we thinking about the Las Vegas Raiders? They're in the market for a quarterback. They did sign Gardner Minshew, but they're in a draft position where with Minnesota in front of them and Denver in front of them, yep, it could be problematic. How do you see them attacking the draft?
Yeah, I think they could be on the outside looking in. It could be a year of Gardner Minshew. And, you know, generally speaking, when you have a young defensive head coach like they do with Antonio Pierce, he's looking to control the line of scrimmage, run the ball. I thought it was really illuminating when he said losing Josh Jacobs hurt. He didn't talk about the lack of quarterback. He talked about losing Josh Jacobs. So I think that gives us a real mindset into how they want to play. I'm sure they want to get a quarterback. But to me, first and foremost, it's going to be the offensive line and controlling the line of scrimmage. And I think that's really going to be their mindset.
As usual, Mike, awesome stuff. Thanks for stopping by for a few minutes.
Terrific.
And, listen, couple of pies wouldn't kill you to pick up for us. That's all I'm saying.
What, deep dish?
I'm just setting the groundwork for you to be paying for the pizza. That's
I can't all. Believe you haven't had the Detroit yet. You'd love it. You'd love it.
What is it?
It's they make it in like a motor pan, like a pan that they use for oil. That's why it's called Detroit style. So it's kind of like a deep dish from Pizza Hut sort of thing, but that's not going to do it the justice it deserves.
Okay. Well, now I'm skeptical.
Also, isn't the tomato sauce on top?
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.